tonight on Arena. Jess Buckley and Josh O'Connor are Romeo and Juliet, and actress Aveen McCann on The Seven Last Words of Christ. You can text us on 51551 or tweet at RTE Arena. Well, last year, the National Theatre in London was due to stage a landmark production of Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, starring Josh O'Connor, who you will know from The Crown, and our own Jessie Buckley as the star-crossed lovers of the title. Of course, COVID put paid to any such plans and the production was cancelled. But the director of the play, Simon Godwin, adapted it for film. And over 3 weeks in December of last year, the play was shot in the National Theatre, using the space as a theatre-cum-film set. The resulting film is due to be broadcast by Sky Arts this Easter Sunday, and we've asked Mary McGill to take a look at it for us. But let's begin with the very famous opening to the very famous play, performed by Lucian Messamati, who plays Friar Lawrence.
Two households, both alike in dignity. In fair Verona, where we lay our scene, from ancient grudge break to new mutiny, where civil blood makes civil hands unclean. From forth the fatal loins of these two foes, a pair of star-crossed lovers take their life, whose misadventured piteous overthrows do with their death bury their parents' strife. The fearful passage of their death-marked love and the continuance of their parents' rage, which but their children's end naught could remove, is now the 2 hours' traffic of our stage.
Lucian Messamati there playing Friar Lawrence in the Sky Arts production of Romeo and Juliet. Mary McGill has been watching it for us. Mary, this is Shakespeare's love story, Romeo and Juliet. But is it a play, a film, or a film play? What is it exactly?
Well, you know, Kay, it's a hybrid. I think that's the fairest way to describe it. And indeed, it's how the National Theatre describes it themselves. So obviously, we have been denied the pleasure that is the theatre over the last year or so. And so film provides our way into this. So we've got the camera work that allows us to be there as the actors perform a play that so many of us are very familiar with. It is a very beloved piece of work. But through the camera, through the film, we get to enter the theatre and to be reminded of what that space looks like and what it's about. Although this is filmed, we never lose sight of the fact that we are looking at a play, that we are looking at a piece of theatre. And that's wonderful because, you know, we've got great actors in great roles performing a play that, you know, many people are familiar with. And for people new to seeing Romeo and Juliet performed like this, this is a great introduction. But it's also a reminder of what we've been missing over the last 12 months as well, and what we will hopefully have to look forward to once we're out the other side of this. So it's a very interesting hybrid, and I can't help thinking that potentially it's one that will have a life beyond the pandemic, whenever that will be.
And of course, Romeo and Juliet is one of Shakespeare's most produced plays, and it's been staged and filmed and adapted countless times. So does this trying to reach back into giving people the theatre experience as well as filming the play, does it bring something new to the play itself?
I think what really hammered home to me was the quality of the source material. It certainly has, it will, I'm sure, introduce a new generation to the play, undoubtedly. But my introduction to Romeo and Juliet, as someone growing up in the 90s, was, of course, Baz Luhrmann's version of Romeo and Juliet, which is as far from this as you can possibly get. Huge Hollywood production, bombastic MTV-style editing. We had fireworks, we had, you know, dance sequences, we had swimming pools. We had a genre-defining soundtrack. It was big, it was bold, and it was still Romeo and Juliet, and of course Claire Danes, Leonardo DiCaprio. I mean, everyone bought into it. It was a juggernaut at the time. This is an entirely different affair. It's stripped back, it's sparse in some respects, and yet it has that incredible emotional heft that comes from the source material. And that's the reason why this play is performed again and again and again. And it's lovely to see that come through, the sheer power and intensity of what live theatre can do. You know, you don't need the bombast. It's fine if you've got the budget, you know, sure, go for it. But I think it's interesting that Josh O'Connor, you know, he was talking about his experience in December, you know, creating this piece of work. And he, you know, he got so much from it because they had so much time and space to really rehearse and really get into, you know, the kind of physical embodiment and working through the characters and bringing them to life in this context. And he actually, you know, he was saying to Vogue, he would love to, Vogue magazine, he was saying he would love to see that kind of space created in film for that attention to rehearsal and working that way, which I found really interesting.
Yes, so it's so true. The performances are so front and center in this, aren't they?
They really are. They really are. And what I found, you know, we've all been at the theatre, which we all love, but sometimes you don't get the best seats. And what the camera allows you to see up close and personal is, you know, of course we see the grand gestures, the big performances, but they also we also get to see the intense subtleties that go into this kind of work as well, you know, around the face, around the body, stuff that you might necessarily see up close in the theatre. So that was an interesting dynamic as well.
The key to the story of Romeo and Juliet is that the two lovers come from warring households, the Montagues and the Capulets, and there is street fighting among the younger generation, and then there's just an inability to make peace among the older generation. How does that street fighting and street rivalry, how is that dealt with, which we know so well in West Side Story, which was done through dance?
Yes, I mean, I would say to anybody who has not seen West Side Story at this stage, it makes a fantastic, you know, accompaniment to this piece of work as well. Please go and see it. So yes, we had the I suppose landmark dance sequences from West Side Story, huge, you know, classic choreography in that piece. So what we get here is something very different, but no less interesting or engaging. The shadowy kind of alleyways where a lot of the gang fights play out look to me like wings. So the wings of the wings are always kind of off to the, you know, off the stage, and they're kind of they're usually dark and they appear out of the way, and you know, and they lend themselves brilliantly to the shadowy notion of things taking place out of sight. And we get a real sense as well of Verona as a community being at the end of its tether with this back and forth between the Montagues and the Capulets.
And so often, and Mary, don't fight scenes let Shakespeare productions down? I didn't find that in this at all. I thought they were, I did believe they were real. I mean, there was real blood, there was real engagement of the young men with each other.
Yes, there's real physicality to these performances. I agree. They were choreographed to look like real fights, for the want of putting it better. You know, there was nothing kind of hokey or stagey about it. They embodied the sense of two gangs who were up against each other. And indeed, I mean, the fight, the key fight with Tybalt and Mercurio is as moving and as devastating as any version that I've ever seen. You know, you've seen, I mean, that's critical to the story, and the sense of things spiraling out of control through this violence really comes across as well. And of course, at that point, our star-crossed lovers are well and truly star-crossed. That's where everything begins to spiral.
I want to
out
ask you about Josh O'Connor and Jessie Buckley, but let's listen to a clip. Romeo is, of course, first catches a glimpse of Juliet at a mass ball, and here the senses are heightened by the use of pulsating contemporary dance music.
What lady is that?
I know not, cousin.
Did my heart love till now? Forswear its sight. For I ne'er saw true beauty till this night.
Josh O'Connor there as Romeo. The two leads, Josh O'Connor, we all know from his wonderful take on Prince Charles in The Crown. And of course, Jessie Buckley is doing such interesting work. She was in Charlie Kaufman's I'm Thinking of Ending Things, and then in the most recent series of Fargo. She takes really challenging work. How do they work together in this as Romeo and Juliet?
You know, they work together. I mean, you have to have chemistry to pull off roles like this. You know, you need it in spades, both as individuals and indeed as a couple. And they do it spectacularly. They have a lovely ability to be, on the one hand, you know, goofy and young and utterly consumed with each other. And then, of course, you know, with the flip of a switch, utterly devastated and lost and yearning this notion of this rupture that has happened to tear them apart. You know, they inhabit this reality so powerfully. And of course, that is critical to the story. We have to believe, because, you know, the story takes place in a very short space of time. And in some ways, perhaps it stretches our capacity to believe that they could fall so deeply and so quickly, and it could culminate in the way that it does. But in the hands of Jessie Buckley and Josh O'Connor, this belief is easily handed over. There's a real chemistry there. There's a real passion. And you are, even though you know what's happening, but you're rooting for them. You know, you want them to succeed, even when you know that ultimately they can't.
Well, let's have a listen to Jessie. This is Jessie as Juliet delivering the most famous speech of all.
Oh, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? Deny thy father and refuse thy name, or if thou wilt not be but sworn my love, and I'll no longer be a Capulet. 'Tis but thy name that is mine enemy. Thou art thyself, though not a Montague. What's Montague? It is nor hand, nor foot, nor arm, nor face, nor any other part belonging to a man. Oh, be some other name! What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other word would smell as sweet. So Romeo would, were he not Romeo called, retain that dear perfection which he owes. Without that title, Romeo, doff thy name. And for thy name, which is no part of thee, take all myself.
I'll take thee at thy word. Call me but love, and I'll be new baptized.
Henceforth, I never will be Romeo.
What man art thou?
By a name. I know not how to tell thee who I am.
Art thou not Romeo and a Montague?
Neither, fair maid, if either thee dislike.
Jessie Buckley and Josh O'Connor there as Romeo and Juliet from the Sky Arts and Sky Cinema, a new production. They are a little older than what we expect from, Romeo and Juliet are what, 14, 15 when they fall in love. These two actors are in their early 30s. Doesn't that matter?
I don't think so. And Jessie Buckley has been asked about this because it comes up time and again, because in the source material, the characters are very, very young in comparison to how they've tended to be represented on film and on stage. And she says, you know, she's never been bothered about the age thing. She said, it's important for me. She points out, she says, every time you fall in love, you don't know what the hell you're getting into. And I think that's exactly it, that sense of falling and that sense of, you know, completely losing yourself in another person and imagining this bright and shining future with them is why audiences continue to fall in love with Romeo and Juliet over and over and over again.
And
because
I think
we all know that feeling.
I think we forget about it too. We might think it at the beginning, oh, they're not quite the 14 or 15 year olds, but you know, you forget about that as the production goes on. But it's great to see her using her Kerry accent.
I was delighted by that kick, I have to say, when she came on, because I was interested to see, you know, how, you know, she would play it. But it's there and it's loud and it's proud and it does a fantastic job of delivering what is, you know, very difficult dialogue, but beautiful, exquisite dialogue. And she does, you know, she excels at it.
Now, just going back to the production again, as you explain very well, you see them as actors in their ordinary clothes, really in the rehearsal. rehearsal process, even though everybody is completely in character and Romeo and Juliet are, you know, working the chemistry even in the rehearsal room. And then there are scenes like that first scene we heard there where they meet at the mass ball that's costumed and there are fairly elaborate sets. How does that move from rehearsal into the more formal theatrical space work?
Very fluidly, I would say. And I think it's a test. What you find yourself being reminded of is how creative theatre is, how it allows for so many different scenarios to play out, often within, you know, quite a contained space, the way sets can be moved around, the way, things can shift in and out between scenes in a way that doesn't feel in any way compromised by the camera being there or jarring because the camera is there. It's a testament to what you can do in that space, on a stage, through, you know, the creative perspectives of so many people to give something that moves so beautifully between, as you're describing, you know, going from gang fights to lovers on a balcony declaring their undying dedication to each other. And yet, you know, I mean, again, I found myself being reminded of what a specific art form live theatre is and what you can do with it. And while this is a hybrid, I think it is also a testament to the uniqueness of theatre and where it takes you and why it's important.
It does, but it also does give some questions about live theatre as we know it and wonder, could technology play a bigger role? That use of the close-up, which is so powerful in this.
Yeah.
You know, you just wonder, maybe, you know, is it too shocking to think that maybe they might look to that technology in the theatre space?
I don't think you'll ever be able to recreate the real thing. And I think part of the reason that Romeo and Juliet persists as it does is testament to the power of theatre. However, I do think going forward that we will see more hybrids like this, because I think for audiences who love theatre but for whatever reason can't get to a theatre, this is a fantastic way into it. And even before the pandemic, you know, we were seeing in our cinemas live screenings of plays in the West End and elsewhere. So I think technology can be a great gift to people at a time like this, reminding us of what it is we're missing and reminding us to look forward. And hopefully we'll get to see Romeo and Juliet on the stage again. But at the same time, like I said, I don't think it's a replacement for the real thing. And I think that's a good thing.
Very good. Well, Mary McGill, thank you so much. The National Theatre's Romeo and Juliet is premiering at 9 p.m. Sunday, the 4th of April on Sky Arts. It will be repeated on Sky Arts on Easter Monday, the 5th of April at 9:30, and at Thursday, the 8th of April at 10 p.m.